Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thank you for joining us, to all our listeners out there. Really appreciate it. I think we're on, what, episode 61, Mike?
61. Yep, that's right.
My name is Tony Stensland, and again, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Mike Ward. Mike, how you been last month or so?
Really good. No complaints.
It's nice that we get to see each other once a month, but then at the same time, it's like, man, I only get to see you like once a month.
Yeah.
We don't really ever, we always want to go run or bike even together. Yeah. It just doesn't ever happen very much.
Yeah.
But at least we get to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. And talk to all of you guys out there listening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it, huh?
Let's do it.
First things first, we have some race results. So I'm going to just go through, I guess, the standings because we are through the vast majority of the spring season. We've done Bear Creek Trail, Spirit Mountain 10 Miler, Point Pine, Billings Drive.
This is for NMTC.
NMTC.
Way. Yeah.
What did I say?
Nothing. I don't think you introduced that part.
Yeah. Billings Drive.
Listening.
And the Woodland Run. Yep. For the NMTC Spring Trail Series. So. The majority of the series is complete. So just to kind of recap the winners, kind of the standings in the series so far, Sam O'Donnell Hoff is leading the men's results, and he has completed every race so far. I'm just looking at the last one, Chester. On the women's side, Hannah Torvey, that's a power couple right there. Hannah and Sam are dating, I believe. So Hannah's first place. She's completed all the races as well and won three of them, and she's got second place in two of them. So she's doing really well in the standings. And then in the non-binary results, we have Samantha Frey, who is leading that division. And so with one race left, NMTC is just kind of wrapping up. We had the Pike Lake 10K and half marathon recently. And so for that race, the winner of the half marathon was Alexander Richardson. He won with a time of 1:14:39, beat second place by over 5 minutes. So excellent work to Alex there. And then on the women's side, Kimberly Hurst won the half marathon, which with a 1:25:57. Excuse me, almost made a mistake there. So, yeah, fourth overall with a screaming time, Kimberly Hurst. For the 10K, the winner was Ikagra Agarwal from Porter, Indiana, with a 35:35. And then Morgan Harvey from Virginia, 20-year-old, Virginia, Minnesota, I should clarify, won with a third place overall, 39:14. So 348 finishers in the 10K, almost 100 in the half marathon. That's an excellent local race, and it's a beautiful day for that. So now on to the Madeline Island Marathon. That was the same day, May 20th. And Tony, you were out there. How was the day for the Madeline Island?
Yeah, it was a great day. It was a really nice weather day. It was a little warm for running, and quite frankly, it was a little touch on the hot side. It was sunny, but a lovely day to be on the island. And you know, I've ran that course now 2 years in a row. I swear it got a little more difficult this time. I don't remember quite being so challenging last year. Granted, I was in shape last year, and I do remember a long climb from like mile 8.5 to 11 or so, just this long grinder that just kind of continues on and on. But even before that, there was more hills than I remembered. But a beautiful course, and I think I've mentioned this before with it, is that every about 2 to 3 miles, you're kind of looking at something different. You're making a turn, and you're seeing something new, and you kind of have these little sections of places to run. So I'm just a big fan of that race.
Awesome. So in the half marathon division from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Anthony Myers won with a 129.32. The first place female was Maria Dixon from Milwaukee. Seventh place overall with a 134.40. And then in the marathon, we had Christian Wobetter from Verona, Wisconsin, took the win, 236.07. And notable second place finisher, Chris Rubesch from Duluth, 257.41. And then also from Verona, the first place female finisher, Grace Flores with a 315.24. So 65 finishers in the marathon, 280 in the half. And then the last race that we have for results is the Superior Spring Trail Race. Trail races, the 50K, 25, and there is a 12.5K race in Lutzen area. The winner there was Drew Mueller on the guy's side with a 404.13 in the 50K division. And on the women's side, Jacqueline Merritt from Minneapolis, 507.38. And then just pulling up the 25K, the winner there was Carl Chmelik from Grand Marais, Minnesota, with a 201.06. And then on the gals side, the winner is Julie Johnson from Anchorage, Alaska, 220.31. And a notable second place finisher is Elaine Nelson, monster runner from Duluth, Minnesota, 223. Nice work, Elaine.
Did you hear anything about how that race went up there?
No, I thought, just, you know, kind of armchair quarterback style, that it was going to be another one off the trail, but I did hear that it was on the correct course on the trail. Okay. So I think just in the nick of time,
yeah, it must have been.
The trail dried out enough to hold the race, which is excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
That last year it was essentially out and backs on the road, which mm-hmm. 2 years of that would be, I think, a challenge.
Yeah.
I didn't hear much from that, though.
I didn't either this year, yeah.
Finally, in the 12.5K course, Micah Dorfner from Mankato won with an hour and 9 seconds. And then on the gals' side, April Wallstrom from Grand Marais won, 110.57. Notable results from the Fargo Marathon. Local runner Tom Cedarquist placed fourth place with a 2:33 in the marathon. So nice work to Tom. That's an amazing time, and always a competitive field for the marathon in Fargo.
His first ever marathon, I believe, too.
First ever, great. Moving on to upcoming races, we're definitely getting into the swing of things, and June, of course, is kind of the premier month for running in Duluth with Grandma's Marathon coming up. That is on June 17th. Of course, the night before is the William A. Irvin 5K on June 16th. And so whether you are running, spectating, volunteering, or just hanging out, it's so fun to get down and enjoy the festivities. So if you haven't already, of course, mark it on your calendar coming up in just a couple weeks as we record. The last NMTC Trail Race Series race is occurring on June 7th, this Wednesday, and that's at Chester Park, and following right after is a potluck, so bring something to share. It's a cool award ceremony, and the course is awesome, obviously. You know, it's my home course, so... also, upcoming on the trails is the Last Runner Standing, which is a kind of zany, really fun event at Spirit Mountain. That is upcoming on June 10th, so next weekend as we record it. And there's lots of cool, unique types of races going on within Last Runner Standing, like one lap last runner leaving, and it is kind of like a even the playing field with fast runners and slow runners a little bit. The Dipsy race, which is more of a kind of an age-graded start thing, and of course the brutal Last Runner Standing, the standard 1 hour new race every hour. On the website lastrunnerstanding.com, there's lots of cool information. And again, if you don't want to race and put yourself through the mental and physical toil of towing the line every hour, it's such a cool race to just go down there at the top of the hour and watch people coming in and start the next race. So I think this is maybe the most fun race, running race to spectate of them all.
Yeah. Really, it's super cool. A good time just watching that one.
So that's at the Lower Chalet of Spirit Mountain. And then Grandma's Marathon, of course, coming up. And then finally we have the Midnight Sun Midnight Run 5K, which is a really fun midnight start time, and that's on Friday night of June 23rd. Next we have trail conditions. Tony, you been on the trails lately?
Just a little bit, and I think like most people that have been out, it's that, you know, they notice that they're extremely dry right now. That's what I've noticed. You know, it's everything's kind of dusty. The socks that you wear that day are going to be destroyed with dirt, and you'll be covering the bottoms of your legs a little bit. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're bad, because they're actually quite good right now. Everything is clearly open. And and you and I were discussing a great thing about this time of the year on the trails is that things aren't overgrown so much.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's, I think, just so fun, too, to get on the trails and just see the forest kind of come alive in the early summer months. And even just our last podcast just a month ago, trails were closed down, and it was almost hard to envision how they're going to open up. You know, it's just winter's just holding on, and it's so like sloppy and wet and gross, and now it's just like dry, dusty, and open for business. So
Honestly, we could use some rain, but nothing we can really do about it, but wait.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, the trails are great right now.
Yeah, they are really great right now. Next in the rundown section, Coach's Corner. So I know with Grandma's coming up, you like to talk about kind of last-minute tune-ups, and what do you got for our listeners this week?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, it's taper time for so many people, particularly the marathoners now, as we're a couple of weeks away. I would say for those of you specifically doing the half marathon, and you maybe your training hasn't been really consistent, you haven't trained as much as you wanted to, I would say consider a very, very short taper. Don't do a longer one, because you need just to try to squeeze every bit of juice out of the lemon with training. And so maybe consider, I don't know, a 4 or 5 day taper, or like a week at the most kind of taper for the half, depending on your abilities and your what you're looking for the race, how you want to perform it.
Yeah.
But tapers work magic, but they work better if you've done the training. Mm-hmm. If you haven't really done the training, you want to be, you just essentially want to taper far less than you would.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think about weekend before? As we record this, you know, we're almost 2 weeks out.
Right.
We have essentially, hopefully when this gets launched, we have one more weekend before the big show. Do you have a general recommendation for kind of that last weekend? Or
in terms of like what to do for a run that weekend, or how to? Again, it really depends on, well, one, it depends on if you're doing the half or the full. That's a big difference. And two, it depends on your overall training. You know, when they talk about the long runs and the recovery time needed, the general rule of thumb is you need a day per mile to be fully recovered. That doesn't mean you can't run. You can continue to train. That's why after a 20 miler, we don't wait 20 more days before we train again.
Right.
We continue to train. But if you, say, do a 20 miler a week before, regardless of your fitness level, you're going to have that in your legs still, and your race will probably not be what you want it to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, err on the side of caution is generally the way to go with these. Again, though, like I mentioned, if you haven't really been consistent with your training, you might need to just kind of push right up to the last minute.
Yeah.
Kind of approach, even in the last week. And maybe give yourself 2 days off, maybe. Maybe the Thursday and Friday don't run. Or what's worked for me well in the past, and some of my other runners too, is maybe take Thursday off and then Friday do a little run with some quick surges in there.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of kind of, I don't know, quote unquote, cleaning out the legs.
Right.
And you also get a little zip in there.
Hmm.
And I think that sometimes can help you feel a little more fresh on race day.
Interesting.
If you take too many days off prior and then you go race, your legs are a little logy for the first third.
Yeah.
And it's hard to kind of get into goal pace sometimes and just that proper rhythm. It feels like you're almost pushing too hard just to get to where you should be casually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, to me, err on the side of caution a little bit unless you haven't done the training.
Okay. Great tips, I think, for a lot of our listeners who are signed up and have put in many months of training for Grandma's Marathon. Next is Route of the Week. Tony, where have you been running recently?
So one of my favorite routes is, you know, from my house, I'll run up Vermilion and then take a right through kind of the Downer Park area where the Woodland Run is, cut across Jean Duluth and head down Amity Creek and come back up Hawks Ridge. That's just a wonderful route.
It is.
The trails are not overly technical on any of that. They're kind of like what I sometimes say is like they're just technical enough to get your attention, but they're not so technical where it really has a negative effect on your running so much. It's a really nice run, and doing it that direction is very challenging. You can come back up Amity if you like, and it's maybe a little less challenging. It's still uphill, but not quite the hill that Hawks Ridge, that climb up Skyline, is.
Yeah,
I like to do it that way just because it's a little more difficult. And then you get the overlook view too, which is kind of nice. And there's a great, once you climb that hill, it's a nice excuse to stop and just, oh, look at Duluth. And
have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You're really resting, but you pretend like you're just enjoying the view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to share that route of the week myself because that's the run that I did today.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I was kind of, you know, excited to go north of town on the Superior Hiking Trail and just do an out and back, and decided to stick into town, and I'm really satisfied with that decision. What I really like about that area and that route is that you can make almost like an endless amount of loops.
Yeah.
Because you have mountain bike trails, the multi-use COGS trails, you have the Superior Hiking Trail, you have like so many like kind of neighborhood, like non-official trails, as well as, you know, like gravel type roads, the snowmobile trails. I mean, it's just so many options based on exactly what you're looking for. And even if you're looking for more technical, you can go across Vermilion on the Superior Hiking Trail proper.
Right.
And that's about as technical as you can possibly get.
Especially on this side of town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's crazy technical.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. You can even hit gravel roads. I don't know if you, did you mention?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the fruit tree loop and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, just loops endless and all the way to Hawk Ridge down Lesser. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of cool trails. That's like the sweet spot of Duluth.
Yeah.
And trail construction, I think, through there.
Yeah, so. I agree. Lester's like my favorite park, and then I include Amity in that, but it's that's just my favorite part.
Pretty cool. Next, we have a segment called What I'm Into. Tony, besides running, what else have you been into lately?
Yeah, I've just been, well, you know, I've been doing some house projects. I'm trying to build this, we bought an outdoor pizza oven.
Oh, cool.
You know, like the wood fire thing that cooks a pizza in like 90 seconds. It's really cool.
Wow.
So I'm building like an outdoor table for it,
kind
of cooking station sort of. We can do the prep work and everything out there, and then slide the pizza in the oven.
Yep.
And that's been a project, and a bit more challenging than I thought it was going to be. I'm kind of at a little bit of a pause right now.
Yeah.
But hope to get that project done in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I've also been really into golf, and we've talked about this and think in the past is I'm trying to get into golf a little bit more, which has taken a lot of my run time and my run focus, and just sort of that my sort of improvement brain, that part where I'm like focused in and trying to get better at something, is all dedicated to golf and not as much running right now.
Right.
and which is not really a it's an absolutely bad thing for my running, quite frankly.
Well, yeah,
it's been better for my golf game because that's improving, but the running has really taken a back seat, and I need to invest a little bit more in that because I've got races planned, or at least a bigger race planned, and yeah, I need to be prepared.
Yeah. Well, grip strength will be top tier for the marathon.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
For what it's worth.
Yeah.
Almost nothing.
But
yeah.
How about you?
I've been so into gravel biking.
Yeah.
I did the Le Grand du Nord 100-mile race in Grand Marais last week. And so that was an interesting race. I hadn't done it before. But, you know, I signed up months in advance, and then it really forced me to, first of all, get my bike tuned up, mm-hmm. which was important, and it's something that I delay and, like, procrastinate on every single year. But you have to get it tuned up.
When you get it tuned up, what do you do?
Yeah, so just kind of take it out of storage. I ride tubeless tires now, so okay. I have to address the tires. Just like a general tune-up, you know, clean it all off. A lot of times in the fall, I'll kind of, you know, it's a bad habit, but just like throw it in the shed and don't worry about it. So then when I pull it out, you got the cobwebs and mm-hmm. dust and dirt and grime and stuff. And this year, I actually converted it back from a geared bike with a rear derailleur to a single speed. And so that took a lot of tooling around with and some headaches and retape my bars. I mean, it's endless, the bike maintenance, really. You know, something goes wrong or something gets old or worn out, you got to replace it. And
yeah,
so it's always a process in the spring to just get it back kind of rideable mm-hmm. almost. A lot of times that's what ends my season. It's like, something's gone wrong. Oh, well, it's October anyways, or it's July anyways, you know.
Yeah. So, I'll be done for the year.
I'll be done. Yeah, exactly. So, it forced me to get the bike tuned up, but also get out for some like early season training rides when the trails were still closed. So that was good. And then I didn't feel prepared whatsoever, like bike maintenance wise or training, but the race went really well. And now I'm pretty jacked up about gravel biking. I just want more.
What other races are you planning?
None, but
none,
I just,
none right now.
I want to do more.
Just get out there and ride.
I want to get out there and ride more.
I'm kind of missing the gravel thing too, but I simply do not have the time, particularly with me playing golf.
Yeah.
Because that takes a lot of time as well.
Yeah.
So it's just not going to happen, but I do miss it. I do miss it. I miss one, the training aspect of it too, but just getting out there and seeing so much country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's different than running, is that, you know, you can do a 50-mile loop and every single day. I mean, if you have the time, right? I mean, it's not going to bury you like physiologically or whatever.
Right.
But you can just see so much. And we're in a gravel mecca in Duluth. A mecca.
Yeah.
We have so many cool options within an hour drive, you know, from Duluth proper to just explore endlessly. It's so cool. So, I'm really excited about it. And, get your bike tuned up. Maybe get you.
You guys would destroy me on a ride now, because I did ride. Where did I? Oh, I just simply rode my bike down. I met Shuni down at Amity Coffee one day, and I rode my commuter, so I had to ride back up Tisher, which was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But just that little, I don't know, maybe 3 miles, 4 miles tops.
Yeah.
And it was either Tisher Creek and Lake Walk.
Yeah.
Man, my hands were sore. My neck was sore. My butt was sore. Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
Just not in any kind of bike condition at all.
Yeah. But wasn't it exhilarating? I mean, it's like you feel like a little kid again on a bike, like, at least for me.
That's definitely there. And I think that's even more so there in the gravel scene than just like riding on the lake walk or something.
Yeah.
Particularly for even just for myself, because I grew up in the country.
Yeah.
And on gravel roads, and so that's all we did was ride bikes on gravel roads.
Right, get to your friend's house.
They weren't exactly the bikes we're riding now. You know, they had the banana seat and the big flared handlebars.
Yeah,
because it was the 70s. But it definitely feels like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. And then finally, last segment we have here is our shout out section. I know you have a handful, Tony.
Yeah, I've got 3 shout outs. All Pike Lake, all runners of mine.
Okay.
Who performed really well. I was really proud of them. So shout out to 2 winners, Alex and Kim, both won the half marathon.
Yeah.
I was looking at the results, the past results. And I believe Alex ran the third fastest time and Kim ran maybe the second fastest or maybe the fastest time. She might have the course record now.
Awesome.
On that half marathon course, 125 on that course is flying.
It's moving. Yeah.
Yeah. So she and both of them did great. And then Tiffany, who finished second in the 10K,
yeah,
and she ran the second fastest time on that course, I believe.
Awesome.
So really proud of her and Alex and Kim, just really great showings.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I was at that race, timing.
Okay.
But it was just an amazing day.
Was it? Weather was good.
Perfect weather. Yeah, it was maybe good. A little windy, a little warm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those
same
are
day as Madeline. Yeah.
Yeah. Only deviations from being totally perfect were just maybe a little warm, maybe a little windy.
I heard that the finish, which should be fast, kind of downhill, mm-hmm, there's a headwind on that.
Oh, sure.
That's what people told me.
Yeah.
Which was, they were really bummed because to hear they all those hills finally, yep, along downhill and headwind. As you turn the corner.
Oh, yeah. Funny. Yeah. I didn't hear that, but there were a lot of smiles. So it good. Seemed like people were satisfied with the day. And
good.
Mid-May, kind of hit or miss weather-wise, so right. That's always nice to have a solid, you know, sunny, bright day.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
Awesome. Well, should we get on with our interview section here, Tony?
Yeah, really looking forward to this interview.
All right.